Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
All right. Welcome back to another draft week edition of Believe in 49ers here, presented by the Believe Podcast Network and Bet Online. I'm your host, Tommy Call III. You can follow me on Twitter at Tommy_III. That is triple I for the third. And you can catch all of my written work about the Niners via USA Today's Niners Wire. But you already know that. And today we are here to talk about the draft. And if you listened to the podcast before, you know I gave my mock draft recently. So you can listen to that in our most recent pod. But now I wanted to bring on our friend Marcus Johnson of SB Nation and Tape Don't Lie, my favorite draft analyst in the game. Marcus, if you remember, joined us back in the Senior Bowl to kind of give us a little preview of the class, some nuggets from the Senior Bowl. But now it's been, it feels like a couple months now, and I'm sure he's had a lot more time to study this class. And we sit here about 48 hours away from when the Chicago Bears are officially on the clock. And before we get to Mark and talk a ton of draft, I have a quick message from our friends over at Bet Online. Bet Online is your number one source for all your summer sports this season, from MLB, golf, NBA, NHL playoffs. All the latest stats, news, and scores are available to follow for your favorite teams. Get the latest odds and lines, including your favorite team matchups, player props, odds, and just about every.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Sport out there. Head to the website today to use your mobile device to get in on the action. Bet Online, where the game starts. All right, let's get down to business, folks. Let's welcome on our guest, Marcus Johnson. You can catch his podcast show on YouTube, anywhere you can get a podcast, Tape Don't Lie, breaking down some stuff about the Las Vegas Raiders and obviously the NFL draft. A lot of good nuggets, a lot of research I've done about some prospects I like in this class. I've learned from Mark over there at Tape Don't Lie. He also does a lot of written stuff for Silver and Black Pride with SB Nation. Mark, 2 days away from the draft. Are you over it yet? Are you excited to just hear that that ring for someone finally to be on the clock? How you feeling as we sit 2 days out?
Yeah, I feel pretty good, man. Just kind of, been doing a lot of Raiders stuff, and getting ready for the Raiders has gotten me ready for the draft. So, kind of watched almost all these players, a lot of the top 100 guys. So definitely something that, I'm kind of into now, but, I'm kind of tired of it a little bit. So been chilling a little bit for this past week. So kind of so I can get back into the draft, because I know it's going to be a busy week. This week's been a little bit busy already, so yeah. I know it's going to be even busier after the draft. So,
yeah, and if you haven't listened to me and Mark before, we met a long time, used to work together. He obviously does Raiders stuff. I do Niners stuff now, but it's always fun because the draft is kind of that common goal for all of us. He's got to see all these prospects, where I personally have focused a lot of our draft content here on that number 30 pick, the back half of the draft, and even that number 63 overall pick. Mark, that you've spent a lot of time, like you said, researching some of these prospects and everything. Overall, from pick one to Mr. Irrelevant, how do you feel about this class? What's just your overall vibe of it? Obviously, we know about the quarterbacks and everything, and I think that's probably what you'll lead with here, but is there anything people should know just about the class overall before tuning in on Thursday?
Yeah, I think that it's an offensive class for sure. I think there's a lot of more high level offensive players. Now, I think the offensive players, the depth of the offense kind of dies down, in my opinion, as it goes further down. I think some of those guys are a little bit overrated. I think the wide receiver position is just a little bit pushed up higher than I think it should be. I don't think there's that many studs there. I think it's a little bit top heavy. And once you get past a little bit past the first round into the third and the fourth, I mean, there's some good players, but it's just not, you know, what you can see like cornerback, that there's a lot of depth there. I think there's a lot more depth at defensive tackle that people are getting credit for. And even I think safeties are kind of a little underrated in this draft too as well. So I think the defensive side just doesn't have a lot of superstars to it, right? Mm-hmm. I don't think there's there's no Myles Garrett this year or anything like that. So you got more like a Jared Verse who, you know, if you follow college football, you probably know of him, but he's not like really a superstar stud guy. Dallas Turner as well. He's under the shadow of Will Anderson. So, but you know, it's all quarterbacks. The quarterbacks are the stars. They came in the season being the stars. You know, the Heisman Trophy, Jaden Daniels kind of has stole a little life from Caleb Williams and Drake May. But it's really an offensive draft. I mean, the offensive tackles in the first round are going to go like crazy. I know that's going to be a big thing for them. So the first round's going to be all offense. But I think as the depth goes along, there's going to be more defensive players that start getting taken in day two, day three. Mm.
That's interesting, and I definitely have some questions I kind of want to follow up there, but I want to ask you about the quarterbacks, kind of while we get into this, because I know, obviously, working around the Raiders, you've probably watched a ton of these guys that are going to be available. Caleb Williams, I've got to see him play live now a couple times. I think just he's as advertised. I do think he's a stud, but behind him there, and I think it's easy to say that, you know, the ink's already dried on that first overall pick, so we don't have anything to worry about, but I think you talked to 10 different people outside of Caleb at number one. You might get some different rankings the rest of the way. I think through the entire class is deep back into Bo Nix. I know there's some Spencer Rattler fans out there. I know obviously Michael Penix Jr.'s name seems to be rising and rising and rising. We talked about those guys around the Senior Bowl. Has your opinion changed on them? How do you feel as, you know, a Raider guy with Jaden Daniels? Like, for me, I watched a lot of these guys in college. I haven't spent a ton of time watching their tape, but I really like Drake May. And I think he's kind of solidified himself as the number two guy for me, but I think Jaden Daniels is probably that guy for a lot of other people. How does your list look? How comfortable do you feel about these guys at in the top of the first round?
Yeah, you know, I think with the top of the first round, I think it's going to be four guys. I think it's going to be JJ, of course, Caleb Williams, Jaden Daniels, and Drake May. I think those could be the main guys. Now, Caleb's going one for sure to the Bears. Now, the other guys, we got to figure out where they're going to go. You know, JJ McCarthy, he might go too. I mean, there's buzz around him going too.
I didn't even mention him. Yeah.
Yeah. It's out there. And I read Charles Robinson, who thought it was fake before, and now he believes it. So that is out there. I mean, they had like a little alpha camp, quarterback camp too at Washington. So we'll see how that went. And, you know, Jaden Daniels was a big fan of it. And who knows how he handled it. And maybe they didn't like that. You know what I mean? And, you know, you got defensive head coaches over there. They want a leader. They want a tough guy. So JJ McCarthy, he might go too. And then, you know, the draft gets crazy if he goes too. Because then where does Jaden Daniels go? You figure he just goes to New England. But then the Vikings, they're going to trade it for Drake May. Yeah, I mean, that'll be something that we'll all look at and probably expect at that point. But, you know, if Jaden Daniels goes to, and then let's say the Patriots don't take a quarterback, which is a possibility. I mean, everybody talks about they're going to take a quarterback, but I still think it's a little bit of a possibility that they just roll Jacoby Brissett and they take the best player available, like, you know, like a Marvin Harrison Jr. or something like that, or even a tackle, and surprise everybody. So I think that how these other three stack up is going to be super interesting, because if JJ McCarthy and Drake May is dangling, like, who goes first? You know, how do NFL's teams feel about it? Can somebody take JJ? If, you know, the Patriots just fool everybody and do something else, where does Drake May fall? So it's going to be a lot of weird stuff going around with the quarterbacks. I think Penix and, like, the Knicks guys, I think they're going to be second-round guys. I think that buzz is just a little bit of a just overhypedness. I can even see Knicks falling to the third round at some point. But I think Penix is going to be probably that first guy taken in the second round because teams like him. But, you know, there's injury history. Nobody's probably going to take that chance on him yet. But, yeah, I think it's going to be pretty interesting how these guys go, man. And that's going to be, you know, even for the Raiders, it's going to be weird how they navigate, because I heard that today they try to trade up to two. So.
So just as a, you know, as a person that covers the Raiders so closely and that you've been so heavily involved with the draft stuff, you know, as we sit here 2 days and 2 days out, and Mark Davis hands you the draft card and goes, "We're going to ride with your pick. Who you filling that out for? Who is it, a quarterback, or are you just gonna, let's say two guys are off the board and you guys get a third quarterback. What are you looking at there?
I think if the third quarterback, definitely taking Drake May. He just fits what Tom Telesco likes as a profile. He has the height, weight, size, athleticism, everything that Tom Telesco likes in every quarterback that he's drafted. So I think Drake May fits that. JJ McCarthy does too. He did weigh more than he ever did in college. I mean, college is rumored to be 203. He was at the combine. He's 219. Wow. So, you know, it's just a big difference there. So, you know, it depends. He might surprise me if he likes JJ just based on that. And, you know, JJ does have the intangibles. I think Drake May has some intangibles, though, too, to him that he could press you. And they just did a lot of studying him at the combine more than they did the other quarterback. So I think they really like Drake May a little bit. But if they don't do that, if they don't trade up and get a quarterback, I think it would be Troy Fontenot from Washington. Mm. I think that's going to be the pick at 13. I don't think a lot of Raiders fans could like that. They want Talisi Fuaga if they're going to do that. But Fontenot basically has like Rashawn Slater's profile a little bit. Rashawn Slater's course was just a lot faster just because he ran like a 4.8 or something crazy like that. But I think Troy Fontenot from Washington would probably be the pick at 13. Either him or Fuaga, probably one of those two, or they go a different, totally different directions. They go cornerback, it'd probably be Nate Wiggins. And then they'll go somebody to get a tackle in the second round or getting a quarterback there. I don't know how that would work, but it would either be Troy Fontenot or Nate Wiggins at that point.
Yeah, I think it's interesting just the quarterback conversation, because obviously here in the Bay Area and San Francisco, you know, some people might kind of think this is a tune out to an extent, but we've seen, and if you know anything about the NFL draft specifically, the more quarterbacks, the higher they go, kind of pushes that talent in different position groups down the draft. So I think it's widely beneficial for the 49ers to have so many quarterbacks of interest going high. Cause I mean, that's a position obviously they don't need, they won't even consider probably at 31, but now that these guys are going to get pushed down, it could really help them. And I think also just kind of the Santa Clara connection with Adam Peters now in Washington, it's going to be interesting to see how he kind of starts his tenure there with likely a quarterback selection. Outside of that quarterback field, I think, you know, 3 years from now, Mark, me and you were drinking a beer watching Monday Night Football, and they show the 2024 NFL draft class on, a graphic, and they say all these guys were drafted in this class, and it's from a certain position group. I think we've seen the graphic so many times with, you know, wide receivers from a couple years ago. We see that with defensive backs. We've seen it with edge rushers. What's kind of that position group for this year? What's the position group where you go 2 years from now, 3 years from now, oh man, I wish the 49ers got a piece of one of those guys. I wish the Raiders got one of those guys. What's that position group that's going to kind of define this class?
I think the tackles for sure. I think the tackles are there's gonna be a run on tackles. And you know, when we get to the second round, there's gonna be another run on tackles. So I think there's just the purpose of having to protect your quarterback with some of these edge rushers that are out there. I think there's a huge group of tackles. I mean, you know, Mims might fall to the Amarius Mims. He might fall to the second round based on injury history. So that's a guy that, you know, has a lot of athleticism and he's huge, right? And just a really, really big guy. There's a lot of movement with him. I mean, a lot of athleticism, a lot of things that he can do pretty damn well. And he just has a lot of power. There's those type of guys. And there's like, you know, Kingsley Suamataya, you know, is a guy could take late, you know, or, you know, Roger Rosengarten. Those are some of the late guys. And then, of course, like the Joe Alts and the J.C. Lathams and, you know, the Olu Fashanu and, you know, Troy Fontenot to Talisi Fuaga. You know, there's so many tackles. Tyler Guyton. These are all guys that might go first or second round. So there's just so many options there at tackle. I think the other sneaky position, though, in this draft is running back. I think there's a lot of great running backs in this draft. You know, not a lot of, like I said, not a lot of superstars. That's usually when we go first round. It's usually some dude that went to Alabama who's a stud all 3 years, and we all know his name. But there's none of those guys. But, you know, like Jonathan Brooks is ridiculous. You know, Jalen Wright's pretty damn good.
We'd probably be talking about him differently without the injury, right?
Yeah. Like
maybe he could test that first round. Yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah. Mark, one thing that's interesting is, we know a lot of, like, if you've paid attention to the drafts, if you follow the NFL, you obviously probably know the first guys that are, you have a little bit of information on most of the, you know, let's say 75% of the guys in the first round, right? You know about those guys. But I think something that's interesting about everybody that watches film and, you know, pays attention to the draft specifically. When I was super involved in it, I had a handful of guys that were like my guys, right? That I would be, you know, I want to draft these guys. I'm higher on them than other people. And, you know, we're talking about guys that are potentially second, third round grades, fifth round grades, but I'm really high on. I want to know that about, I want to know who you are, kind of who are your draft crushes. I have some of my own, so I'm going to ask you about that. But before I get there, I want to know about who are some guys you're out on that you hear other people talk about that maybe get some love in the first round, that might be even be getting high love in the second round, that if, you know, the 49ers are on the clock and they hear that name, who are, what might make you a little queasy if you hear that name called?
You know, some people, you know, I think trying to see people who I'm down on more than others, probably
I feel like you're really good at this. I feel like I can always kind of like,
yeah,
used to talk about the draft. I would be like, I really like this guy. And you're like, and getting really
like, XYZ. I mean, to be honest, I'll be honest with you. I mean, it's probably Drake May. I think May is the way he's talked about. Mm-hmm. I think people try to hide past his quirks. I think people just are ignoring them. Mm. And he's a very dangerous pick. You know, I think for teams, it's a boom or bust type of thing. I think you have to have a good situation around him because he doesn't have really good feet. He doesn't handle pressure well. And his feet get worse as the pressure gets along. And there's a lot of things that like NFL quarterbacks do well that he doesn't do, right? And he does a lot of cool things in college. He does a lot of the rolling out and some cool throws. And he has tons of cool throws on film. They're crazy. There's highlight films everywhere. You can make a 10-minute highlight with Drake May throws from his whole season. He played better the year before with better players. So maybe it's more of like, might be like a Josh Allen thing. But I think that he's a little more dangerous than people give him credit for. I don't think he's this for sure thing, and you know, I think his ceiling is a little bit higher than people say too, but will he ever reach that upper echelon if he can't handle pressure well, you know, or is he just gonna be, you know, like the Kirk Cousins, Derek Carr type of guy? So that's gonna be kind of the element with him, is how he handles things, and I that's why I'm a little lower on him than other people. I'm trying to think, probably as a running back too. I know there's a running back that I don't like, Trey Benson. I don't like that much. I think Trey
kind of like the number one guy outside of Brooks right now too. On a lot of people's, you know, on a lot of rankings, you see he's probably the one or two ranked running back.
Yeah, he to me, I think he's a scat back. I think he's like a third down guy, and you know, his vision just isn't there to be a sufficient or even an efficient running back. You know, at the end of the year, you know, Florida State didn't have a quarterback, and they were supposed to lean on him, and they really didn't do much on offense, and his yards per carry went down like crazy. And you can say maybe it's the offensive line and those things, but you know, to me, it's college football. You're a great running back. Come on, dog. You know what I mean? Like, you should be able to break some tackles, make some guys miss. It's college football. Yeah, and if you're a second round or third round running back, you know, you want to look like Jonathan Taylor. You want to have those type of guys, right? Because Jonathan Taylor didn't go first round. You see how good he looks in the NFL.
Yeah.
And, you know, he's a way better prospect than Trey Benson, in my opinion. But I think people are a lot higher in Trey Benson. But that's what I talk about with a lot of NFL scouting and why people do the whole running backs don't matter, because I swear they go with names. And Trey Benson is a name, and people know him a lot, but I don't think he's as good as some of those other running backs. So.
It's funny. So just as we're talking about the running back class, I'm going to jump ahead and I talk about guys that I personally like. I like Ray Davis. I don't know why he's so low on a lot of boards. I mean, you watched him at Kentucky, you watched him in the SEC before he got to Lexington. I think he's a dog. I think you talk about college football running backs that produce at a high level that look like a stud. I mean, Kentucky's offense was hand it to Ray Davis and let him go to work. And it seemed like he did it. And I look at rankings and I see him as like the 300th prospect rank or 250th prospect ranked as a day three guy. And I'm like, I don't get that. Why Trey Benson's getting second and third round love, in my opinion.
Yeah. You know, Ray Davis, I think with him, it's probably more like he's not really a creator either. But I mean, he's a tough runner, dude, great in the red zone, great blocker. He can catch. That's the thing. He's ready to go third down. That's why I feel like that he might be more in the back end of the draft, because, you know, I feel like Trey Benson just gets more love with him because he's faster. But you know, because Trey Benson can catch the football too, and does a lot of great things in the passing game, and that's probably why teams are higher on him. But I think Ray Davis could do the same exact things and has better vision. So that's why I would be I am a little higher with Ray Davis than I am with Trey Benson. But I think that, you know, Ray Davis, he's the speed element maybe of it, but I don't know. That might be knocking him down a little bit. But he's such a tough blocker, dude. Like he'll come in. The people who like running backs that can block and those type of things, they'll like Ray Davis and what he can do.
And, you know, 49er fans out there listening right now, like, we have Christian McCaffrey and we have this. Think about Kyle Shanahan's draft style. He always drafts a running back way earlier than any team expects. And the 49ers, for the first time in a long time, have this arsenal of picks. And Kyle Shanahan was overdrafting running backs before they had this arsenal of picks, when they only had three or four picks in the draft. So do not be surprised to hear a running back's name called just in a couple days from now in this class specifically. So now, Mark, I want to know who some of your guys are. You can name, you know, however many you want or however least you want, but I'd like you to say one, because I'm going to ask you a follow-up question regarding this. So maybe your absolute favorite, kind of keep that guy in your back pocket. So who are some guys that you're high on that you know, I can go when their names are called, one in the second round, the third round, or even in the first round, that I go, oh, that's Mark's guy. That's the guy he thinks is going to be a contributor. And I think sometimes people can confuse like these my guys as in like Ray Davis, for example. I like him, but I like him as a later round pick, as a second or third running back. They don't have to be an all-star pro bowl or an all-pro type of guy, but contributors, right, is something you're looking for in later in the draft, and guys that develop into kind of real pieces on the roster, I think, is, and that can be what a my guy or a draft crush could be for someone.
Yeah, I mean, a couple of my guys, I really like Renardo Green, Florida State, definitely a cornerback. I think he has great man coverage skills that you'll really like in the NFL. He basically put Malik Nabers on lockdown. Malik Nabers did not have a great game against him, and that was one of the games that LSU lost this year. And it was one of the reasons, was because Renardo Green was all over him, right? And I think he's going to be probably like a third-round guy, second-round guy that I really like. I think he's a stud out there. You know, another cornerback that I really like is Max Melton, who had a great game against Marvin Harrison Jr. You know, I think those things are big factors. He runs a 4.39, and he is able to kind of be really good in zone coverage, and he's pretty damn good in man coverage as well. So those are probably a couple of guys that I really like. And then Javon Baker is a guy that I think is going to be a good in the NFL. Great route runner, great hands, can win deep, can, you know, win short, can win every single way. And, you know, he played at Alabama and he went over to UCF and he had another good year at UCF. And he was very productive. So that's somebody that I really like. One of my favorite guys in the draft right there.
Yeah, and Javon Baker just recently had a visit with the 49ers in Santa Clara, a top 30 visit, actually. So now, Mark, I wanted you to save that guy because I just was like, let's play a game here. You are in the war room over this weekend, whatever it is. And John Lynch turns to you and says, you know, who are you banging the table for? Make the argument. Who's the guy that you scouted that you go, you know, I'm going to put my name behind. If this guy's successful, I'm probably going to get a raise. If he isn't, I might get fired. Who's that guy that you're kind of putting the banging the table for in the war room from this class, whoever it is?
I mean, for the Niners, I would say, I mean, we're just talking about running back, it'd be Tyrone Tracy Jr. Tracy Jr. from Purdue is probably, behind Jonathan Brooks, is the best outside zone back in this draft, best wide zone guy, and he has incredible vision. And I think the other part of it that, you know, Kyle Shanahan would want to get his hands on him is because he used to play wide receiver. All right, so he was a wide receiver for Iowa for the 3 years, and then he played running back for the first time last year, and he was pretty damn good. He breaks tackles in open field. He's hard to take down. He catches, he blocks, he makes people miss in open field. He has great vision in zone. I know Kyle Shanahan's been mixing it up a little bit more, but, you know, there's still that zone there that they run, outside zone, inside zone. Tyrone Tracy does all that. And, you know, if the Niners get their hands on him, you know, they're going to have a great tandem. And, you know, McCaffrey is having so many touches. I mean, you talked about this earlier.
Yeah.
I mean, those things start to add up, right? He's having constant touches in the wide receiver, running the football. Those things start to add up. You know, we'll see how he keeps going as the career goes along. But then you have a guy like Tyrone Tracy that can do what he does. I'm not going to say that he's going to be Christian McCaffrey, I'm just saying there's that ability that he can run those choice routes. He could do those type of things that, you know, out of the backfield that, you know, those choice wheel routes that Shanahan likes to deploy with Christian McCaffrey. So I think Tyrann Tracy is somebody for the Niners that I think they might. You talk about the draft running back, that's fourth or fifth round. That might be your guy right there.
Wow. Okay. That's another name to highlight. I haven't watched him too much, so I'm interested to see. I'm going to flip it on the tape right after we're done with this. Mark, I have a couple other questions for you here. We're talking with Marcus Johnson of Tape Don't Lie. Obviously covers a lot of Raider stuff in the NFL draft, but I'm kind of stealing him for some 49ers takes. I know that might kind of be a little funky. It might hurt you a little bit, Mark, but you're a good friend, so I appreciate that. One thing that I think is kind of interesting with the draft, and obviously, you know, we covered this thing closely. I covered this thing closely. There's a lot more that goes into it. Like, I think a lot of people just think they see like that Mel Kiper best available type of thing, and they want that first overall guy. One thing that I always think is kind of interesting is like the philosophy of the draft pick, of the thinking behind it, of behind the name, of why a team wants to bring in that. And I think the 49ers are kind of have this ultra flexibility, right? Because their roster is pretty stacked. I loved what they did in free agency with adding a lot of guys defensively, because I'd say, okay, you really probably need a defensive back. That was a position of weakness. Now it's offensive line, and there's obviously a lot of great offensive linemen. You listed 5, 6, 7 guys that I think would fit in and probably compete for a starting position on the 49ers offensive line tomorrow. I personally think the argument that it should be offensive line. I like the offensive line class, the guys that are available there, more than I like any of the defensive backs that might be available in the latter half of the first round. Same with defensive tackles or edge rushers. And then also, I think another position that we haven't talked about enough, and there's been so much chatter about Brandon Ayuk and his future. And then even if Brandon Ayuk stays, you have Debo Samuel. They lacked that kind of extra playmaker that got that guy, you know, and I think that is still a position of need regardless of the future of Brandon Ayuk. And if you have whatever, you don't necessarily need a day one contributor there, do they kind of fire that bullet towards one of these wide receivers that's still on the board or reach for a guy? What do you kind of think? Is it, do they go with that luxury pick there, or do you try to think they should go for a position of need like offensive line, specifically with that 31st overall pick? Because, you know, what's available there, I think there's so many different routes, and every mock draft you read might be a little bit different. I think that's just kind of the fun of being a team like the 49ers and having this position as we sit here 2 days in front of the draft.
Yeah, I think what you talked about earlier with the offensive guys getting pushed up, or, you know, some of these quarterbacks, I mean, getting pushed up, I think it's going to push some of the defensive players to them. I kind of believe that they might lean to defense because, you know, I think that this at the cornerback position is probably something that they want to upgrade. And that's where you get the perfect type of guy. I mean, like Kool-Aid. I think Kool-Aid is the type of player that would come in and, you know, be that steady guy. You know, I think he didn't get the targets this year. I mean, his targets were basically cut in half, and then Terry Arnold got all the targets, and so Terry Arnold got the picks and the love, and now he's the first round pick. And Kool-Aid, who's supposed to go top five going into the year, he's all the way in the back of the drafts, but he is still damn good on film. I think that's probably, you know, where they might lean, because I think on offense, you know, even with Brandon Ayuk, he's crying all the time and stuff like that. I know he wants to get paid, but he's still under contract. Who's going to show up, right? And he's going to play. I think they're still pretty set on offense with the weapons. And I think, like I said, I think offensive line is somewhere they can grow, but I think the interior is probably where they need to get better at, in my opinion. I mean, you could let me know if I'm wrong there, but I think the interior is somewhere they want to grow. So I think if they can go offensive line, I think if they do that early, it would probably be like Barton or something like that. Yeah. But they could wait and get some good players like Christian Haynes or I'm trying to think of some other guards here. Like Christian Haynes is a guy.
I really like I like Bordellini. I know.
Max Melton, type of guys. Those are guys that are pretty damn good fits. And I think those type of interior players are something that they could wait on to build up the offensive line a bit, more. So I think they might probably go cornerback. I mean, wide receivers is the sneaky one too, because maybe if they feel a type of way about Brandon Ayuk, you know, maybe they draft somebody that kind of matches what they want. But it just feels like at 31, I mean, besides like Adonai Mitchell, because I know Kyle Shanahan likes the guys who can get open. I mean, that's what he likes. He likes guys who can, you know, win, right? For the most part, from what I've seen and what I thought about from what he's been drafting, you know, because even like Kendrick Bourne, I mean, he could get open, you know what I mean? Like he has some wiggle to him a little bit. So the type of guys that he wants to draft is just at 31, is he gonna be able to find that type of guy that fits, that's kind of, you know, that kind of get open guy, unless he goes like Ladd McConkey or something like that there, or even Ricky Purcell. But those are more slot guys. But, you know, those are the type of players that maybe a wide receiver they could look at. There's just not a lot of separators.
I think the true kind of interest, and I think it's interesting, his over under on draft slot is like 32 or something like, or 31 and a half is Xavier Worthy. Just because if Kyle Shanahan wanted to kind of say he saw what Mike McDaniel's doing in Miami with this different speed threats and stuff, and you know, as talented as Brandon Ayuk is and Deebo Samuel, that's true just afterburner speed threat is not there. And granted, only a handful of teams do have a guy like that. That's like a serious, legit contributor. But I think if Kyle Shanahan really wanted to kind of set this thing on fire and fall in love with the guy, it could be a Xavier Worthy. Is, I think, just a sneaky name that wouldn't surprise me. I think it would surprise a lot of people, but it wouldn't surprise me if Kyle Shanahan kind of wanted to just middle finger the rest of the NFL and go, oh, I want super fast now. So I want you to grade my mock draft. I still haven't revealed my picks yet. We have mentioned both of the guys that I took in the first two rounds, but I think one thing that's just always interesting whenever you're talking about the 49ers specifically, because there's going to be guys that are going to be compared like this and kind of listed under this category so many times, it's just going to be a thing. Is there another Brock Purdy in this class? Is there another guy that is, you know, picked in the seventh round that, you know, could get some love? I know that's crazy to say, but I mean, let's be honest, Mark, this is just a talking point because of what Brock Purdy has done now. Man, Who is that next guy?
I mean, the only quarterback that would go late that I would think that it's going to be better than people think is Joe Milton. I think Joe Milton is somebody's going to go late round that might have a chance to be good in the NFL, because one thing that you can't teach is pocket presence. And he probably has the best pocket presence in this draft. It's crazy to say that.
Wow.
But, you know, it's legit. It's really legit. Great feel. Avoids pressure. Keeps his eyes downfield. It's just what happens after the throw with him. So, you know, he's very erratic. Doesn't make the best decisions in the world. But he went to Tennessee, and he found cannon. A way to win.
Yeah, absolute cannon,
right? Yeah. And he's going to get drafted because of that, right? Maybe higher than people think, because he's so big and he has a great profile to him. But I think that he might surprise some people, just because one thing that just doesn't translate, and what translates the most for most quarterbacks, is the arm strength and pocket presence. I mean, accuracy, those things, it can fluctuate because the ball gets bigger and all those things. So, it's one of those things that he just has that a lot of other guys don't. And yeah, it could be make or break for you, and we'll see. He might grow into a better quarterback than people think.
Yeah, I think that's funny, and I think, you know, as we watch day three of the draft, you best believe that's going to be what some of these guys at the desk are going to be talking about. Who's the next Brock Purdy? Who's the next Brock Purdy? The over under of his name being mentioned there has got to be at like 5 or 6. All right. So, talked a lot about some of the guys that I really like. And I kind of took one of my draft crushes at the second round with the 49ers pick. I feel like now my first round pick's kind of crazy. And I think I got some pushback when I made the pick, because I don't think he might be available at 31. But my kind of thoughts behind it was just with the quarterbacks, I do think Penix is probably going to get drafted in the first round. So I have like 5 guys going. And then I also just have heard so much love about wide receivers specifically. It wouldn't surprise me if some of these guys, you know, panic mode and draft a wide receiver late. So I actually, with my mock draft, have the 49ers going Fatanu at 31, I think. I think he would just do well in Shanahan's system. I think obviously the athleticism is there. I think he can play multiple positions. What drives him down the board a bit for maybe other teams is, I know there's some questions about his size and technique and things like that, because he's such a brawler. He's such a, you know, those hands and stuff are so strong that I've seen some stuff about people have question marks about the technique and obviously the size. What position is he really? Those kind of tweener guys seem like they get pushed down the board. I know, obviously, it sounds like you might like him because he was on your pick for the Raiders at, I think, was it 15? So I'm sure you like the pick. It sounds like maybe, right? You like Fatanu?
Yeah, yeah. Actually, at 31, it's a great pick. That's a great tackle. You know, because I know with his technique issues, I think he's pretty good, man. I wouldn't really agree with that. I don't know what some of those other guys. I mean, they're probably, you know, better at picking up linemen, but, you know, he does a lot of cool stuff. Like, I think he snatches and traps too much. Snatch and trap is a move for people who don't know it, where you kind of grab the guy and throw him on the ground, basically, and kind of just plant him. And he feels like he tries to do that a little bit too much, and maybe some better pass rushers that could make some moves on him, just like the dude from Utah, 83. I can't think of his name right now, but he's in the draft this year. He's a little bit of underrated defensive end. He put some moves on Fatanu that kind of, you know, confused him a little bit. But, you know, the average guy is getting thrown in the ground with him. And that would be a great pick, you know, because he's also – because to me, his biggest problem is the run game, play strength-wise. I still think he's the strongest guy in the world, and I think running like a zone scheme is a lot better for him.
Yeah, I just kind of thought that with how some of these guys, I think you obviously have like three offensive linemen at the top you probably don't really worry about, and then it goes like Barton, I think probably could go before 31. I think Mims is a name that you see a lot pop up before 31, and I feel like if there was a guy to fall, it could be Fatanu. But I mean, we'll see. I think that's what makes this offensive line class so interesting is, you know, you pick up, open a new mock draft every day. And I think you scroll to where the 49ers are at the pick. There's probably a different offensive lineman listed next to them there, you know, in 10 different mock drafts, because it just seems like there's a different, there's no real clarity on how that, there's not firm rankings from 1 to 10 on that offensive line board. And that kind of speaks to how good some of these guys are, it seems like, at the top. Moving on to the second round. You know, I tweeted about this. I do think every year you kind of fall. I love wide receivers. I love watching wide receivers. One of my favorite positions to just watch in terms of draft. I love watching these guys. Doing the Scouting Academy, it was one of my first, pods that you did, you know, where you kind of cover wide receivers. And I wanted to learn so much about them. So obviously there's some guys that stick out, seems like, every single year. And I love Ricky Pearsall. So I put him there at 63 to the 49ers. I think, in Kyle Shanahan's system, you talked about guys with wiggle, guys that can get open a little bit. I think he struggles a bit with separation at time, but he kind of does all those like creative things that like Jerry Jeudy got love from when he was kind of getting drafted, the jump cuts and the little stabs and things like that, that kind of creates speed. And obviously the hands. And I also think he's, you know, a lot bigger than people think. I think people think of him as this kind of like little, you know, Wes Welker type, but I mean, he's 6'1", so and he's strong too. So I like him, and I think I like him more than some of those other guys. I think between him and Jalen Polk, they're two of my favorite kind of like underrated wave two wide receivers. I really think Polk is going to be very good at the NFL, but I think he kind of is too similar to what the 49ers have on their roster with Debo and Ayuk. I think Pearsall kind of gives them a different element. Was kind of my argument behind that pick. Do you like it? Do you like Pearsall? Where do you kind of stand with some of those second wave wide receivers? And who do you like more between him and Polk? Kind of a three-layered question.
Yeah, between him and Polk, I like Pearsall more. Pearsall, I think he's just more of a route runner, a better route runner, in my opinion, than Polk. You know, Polk does run pretty good routes. But, you know, I think Pearsall has an ability to be more of a contested catch guy, actually, even though he's a little bit short. You know, he's 6'1". He's really not the smallest guy in the world either. So there's a lot more to him that maybe he could play outside a little bit with how he has that contested catch ability. And, you know, he has that one crazy catch he did with it. With his right hand or whatever.
It reminds me of the Jordan logo. I like kind of like that. That was pretty impressive.
Yeah. So, you know, so I really like him at that spot. I mean, I think that's somebody that Kyle Shanahan could have that deep threat, plus have the guy that can win inside and do choice routes. He do both, right? And you know, you can maybe get some less touches to McCaffrey and get more touches to a slot guy like Pearsall that has the ability, like I said, to maybe move outside, because I think there's a difference between him and Ladd McConkey. Ladd McConkey can't do anything contested. He could work you. I think Ladd McConkey might be the best route runner in this draft. But he's just a lot of things that he can't do that Pearsall can do. So you can just throw it up to Pearsall. Pearsall can make a play for you. And that's kind of a different element in the slot than you get from a lot of other slot receivers. And I think that's why there's a lot more high upside with him.
It's funny. You've kind of talked me out of McConkey. I was on here during the college football season being like, Ladd McConkey is going to go a lot higher than people think when the NFL draft rolls around, just because I don't think he's like as threatening of a wide receiver prospect as you see. And just Georgia's offense didn't allow for just like an ultra dynamic, like highlight reel guy. But when I was watching him, I'm like, people are just going to love this guy's play speed. And then you and I talked about him, and I've talked about him a couple times. And now as I see him as like a first round guy, and like, remember, like, I'm a Miami Dolphins fan. I see his name kind of linked to the Dolphins at times.
Yeah.
And I'm just kind of like, I'd rather have Pearsall in the second round, if that makes sense. Like, it's kind of like shifted to that, in my opinion, as opposed to McConkey in the first, in the latter half of the first versus, you know, Pearsall in the latter half of the second, if that makes sense. But yeah, man.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
It's been really fun, Mark. I've just pestered you with so many questions here. I could talk about this draft stuff all day. I really appreciate you spending some time with us. Tape Don't Lie. Can catch it pretty much anywhere you can get a podcast. Also on YouTube, if you want to, you break down film and do a bunch of fun stuff there. Can you kind of tell us a little bit of what you're working on, with what kind of you're wrapping up the draft week with? Is all your kind of scouting work done, or you still got some planned stuff for us there with Taped Online and also with SB Nation?
Yeah, I'm probably going to watch some defensive ends just because, you know, I do my live reactions, would be so I could talk to some of these players. But
yeah,
I'm getting to the defensive line probably to finish that out. But, you know, but the positions are pretty good, man. So, you know, we're just be doing the live reaction. We're about to do like a little bit kind of a quarterback special that I'm about to drop today. But that's about it, man. And then kind of just getting ready to doing those reactions and get ready for that. Kind of just, you know, because it's going to be busy after that. There's going to be a whole thing, a bunch of players for me to break down. I'm going to have like seven players. And, you know, so even maybe more than that, who knows? Mm-hmm. And you're going to be breaking those guys down and doing a deep dive. So I'm just getting prepared for the rev up.
Yeah, absolutely. Same thing over here with us at Believe. It's really exciting, man. If anybody wants to, you can follow. If you don't already, you can follow Mark on Twitter at The Mark John NFL on Twitter. You can catch Tape Don't Lie on YouTube and everywhere else you can get a podcast. Mark, I really appreciate your time, man. Hopefully we'll talk again soon after the draft. You can kind of give me some of your reactions, grades to the 49ers picks. And I mean, I'm excited as a person that's worked here in the Bay Area for the last couple of years. It's been boring when it comes to the draft for the 49ers specifically. They've traded a lot of their picks for Trey Lance, you know, and even later in the draft, they had three or four picks, it seemed like. And so, and now they got a ton and multiple in certain rounds later in the day. And I'm a big fan of watching those day two, obviously day three, because that's kind of where the money is made when it turns into the draft stuff. We know about the first round, we know about all those guys. It's boring, whatever, you know. Who cares about those guys? Where it's really fun is day two and three. And finally, I think the 49ers kind of get to dip a toe in and be a part of it. So really fun, really great talking to you, Mark. And that's going to wrap it up for us here on the podcast as a whole on Believe in 49ers. We'll be back reacting to each day of the draft with the picks. And obviously, if there's a big trade, that's going to be one thing we're going to be watching very closely, with the future of Brandon Ayuk. I think that's going to define the draft for us here, Mark, here with Blue 49ers. But I appreciate you all from listening. You can follow me on Twitter at Tommy_III. You can follow Mark on Twitter at The Mark John NFL. Appreciate everybody out there for listening, and shout out to Bet Online, our sponsor. And again, thank you all for listening today on Believe in 49ers.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.